This morning's public reading comes from 1 Samuel, this morning, chapter 16. Chapter 16. 1 Samuel, chapter 16. And we'll be reading the first 13 verses here this morning. 1 Samuel 16. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I have named unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeketh not as man seeketh, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. I don't know, but did you notice something in this reading? Look at verse 7. Everybody likes to point to verse 7 when it comes to, you know, the issue of judging this and judging that, you know, whether or not a person is a Christian when their behavior is a total 180 from what the Bible says. Oh, you shouldn't be judging. Judge, you know, you're supposed to judge not according to appearance. Well, when I'm looking at a man's fruits, or when you look at my fruits, beloved, you ought to be able to see something. So I think we have to be careful on how we interpret here the scriptures. In verse 7, we have that little comment, when the first son of Jesse is rejected, if you will. Notice what verse 7 says. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Really? I'm not doubting God. But look at verse 12. What did verse 12? Look. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy. Well, that's physical. With all of a beautiful countenance. That's physical. Goodly to look to. Well, that's physical. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for he's the one. We're told that the Lord looks on the heart. I don't doubt that at all. But I find it amazing, according to the narrative, when the youngest boy, David, shows up, according to the narrative in verse 21, everything seems to be of a physical nature. I just throw that out. I just noticed that reading this based on verse 7 and then what you find in verses 12. Now, verse 12 don't mention anything about his character, nor about his spirituality. Would you agree? Unless I'm reading it wrong. I think I'm reading English fairly well. So we're going to call this David's anointing. David's anointing. And David's going to be anointed several other times. He's going to be anointed when he rules for 7 years. And then the other tribes eventually, warm up to David. And then he's anointed again over the whole 12 tribes. So there's going to be further anointing here. So what's going on? Now look at that verse 1. And again, when it comes to the question, was King Saul saved? And if he was saved, did he lose salvation? Again, what does the scripture say? And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul? So Samuel was really hurt and greatly disappointed in Saul. Now remember, Samuel anointed him. And so God comes along and says, okay, I think the whining is over. See, I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. That has nothing to do with his spiritual state before God. He lost the crown and the kingdom. That's all I see. His salvation is not even mentioned. It's not an issue. He lost the kingdom because of disobedience. Fill your horn of oil, go, and I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. So far, the first two kings of Israel, and then I believe Solomon, those three kings in the texts, in the Bible, are the only three that God actually appoints directly to be king. All the other kings that follow after the civil strife and the division of the nation, they just simply ascend to the throne either by being the eldest son or the only son who survives, or an assassination or an overthrow of the existing king. Mark my words, you don't find God intervening and picking. It's just a matter of who survives whatever conflict, or what son of the previous king manages to hit the throne. But the first three, God designates. Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, notice also in verse 2, while Samuel is whining for Saul, notice what Samuel says. How can I go? If Saul hears it, if Saul catches wind that I'm going to this man's home to anoint the next king, he's going to kill me. So notice what's happened to King Saul. Not only will King Saul eventually make David his next target, Samuel is fearful of his own life because of the state of mind that King Saul was in. And so then God basically gives him a way out. The Bible talks about God opening and closing doors, of the fact that God will make a way of escape, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Well, notice, okay, just take a heifer, and you're going to go to this locale, and you're simply going to tell people, I'm going to go to sacrifice. Well, he sacrifices, and Jesse, along with his sons, are also invited to this sacrifice. And so God basically sets up the stage whereby Samuel can act accordingly without risking the potential of Saul coming in and doing him away. So notice how God providentially can take care of us. And then we got these parade of boys, and each one is ultimately rejected. But then we are told in verse 11, notice these words. Samuel said unto Jesse, the father, are here all thy children? And he said, there remained it yet the youngest. So David was the baby of the family. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. Beloved, I believe that all of God's children, before they are actually brought to faith in Christ, prior to that, in their lost estate, I believe that God wires us according to His will. Okay? We have a lot of strengths. We have a lot of weaknesses. Some of us are timid. Some of us are bold and brash. And then there's a whole bunch of us that's in between. But once God saves you, all that past experience, I believe He can turn all that around and use it for the kingdom. Look at Saul of Tarsus. Well-educated. He was a man grown up in a cosmopolitan world. He hobnobbed with Gentiles. And when he was saved, isn't it ironic? He was the one chosen to be the apostle to the Gentiles. His prior experiences, prior knowledge, his prior acquaintances, and all of that relationship can be turned around. Notice, he's tending sheep. So David had a lot of first-hand experience raising and tending sheep who by nature are what? Stupid, wayward, easily can get lost, easily out of the way, because he's about to shepherd a nation of sheep. Isn't that amazing? And then Samuel says, well, you fetch him, because I want him to come with me. And then in verse 12, there he is. Verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of all of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. You may want to underline that. From that day forward, meaning it never left. So Samuel rose up and he went back to his headquarters, or his center of operation, which was Ramah. Well, may God choose to bless His word. Amen.